No parent enjoys disciplining their child. But today, Pastor Ray Bentley says it really is necessary.
Far better to have a discipline that brings, you know, conflict, and especially with children, it's a lot of work. But far better to deal with some form of discipline as God leads you than no discipline, which ends, as it says here, it'll end with death.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Sometimes the threads of harmony unravel in our families. Especially in the parent-child relationship, there can be tension. Well, today, Pastor Ray shows us how to follow God's plan for the parent-child relationship. Well, see, it's based on the way our Heavenly Father relates to His children. Let's listen.
The title of the message is Christian Family Life, and we're going to look through verses 1 through 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. So, Paul begins, and he addresses children directly. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Can I have an amen out there from the parents? Isn't that a great verse? And honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And I think that we would all say amen to that as well. Now, there are two reasons for this call to honor and obey our parents. The first is there is a natural law of children obeying their parents that God has just kind of written into the genetic code of human existence, or as Paul puts it, for this is right. And I think that we would generally agree, and it's interesting that essentially every culture and every society is built on the premise that children ought to obey their parents. When Paul was describing, when he wrote a letter to the church in Rome and he was talking about what he visibly saw in the early days of the church, he saw the Roman Empire was at its zenith in reach, influence, and power, and at the same time was disintegrating from the inside. With all their military might, with all their, at that time, technology, they could not hold the empire together because they collapsed from within. What Paul witnessed in the early days of the church is a Roman culture that was frayed and crumbling and falling, as I've mentioned. But now he's got these little groups, whether in Corinth, Greece, or Rome, Italy, wherever it may have been. And there are Jews who have the law of God. They've got what we call the Old Testament. They've got Genesis to Malachi. They've got God's word and instruction for how to raise families. But the pagans coming in that have a Roman background and kind of the pagan culture, there were a lot of problems. Many of these, though, would hear, there was a conviction, they knew something was missing or wrong, and they're hearing now the teaching of the Word of God. And Paul is realizing that he's got a lot of families that have a lot of bad habits from their pagan backgrounds that have crept into now the community of the church. So he's teaching some of these families for the very first time. So there is, Paul says, children in all families now that are part of the body of Christ. Here is a heavenly principle. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The second reason that we ought to honor and obey our parents is not only is it in agreement with natural law, but with divine law. So Paul quotes from the Ten Commandments. And it is a blessing. There's a promise of blessing for those who will obey this commandment. Now, there are very practical reasons for this. And verses 2 and 3 tell us, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So now Paul's giving a practical reason why children should obey their parents. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And that is a general principle that is logical and practical, that children who obey their parents live longer and healthier lives. Number one, parents protect children. Parents have a built-in desire to protect their children. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. And Proverbs 10, 27, let's read that. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Proverbs 30, 17, let's read that. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Now listen, okay, I like that. Somebody said, ew. I like that. That's an honest response, because that reaction is a gut reaction. It's an emotional reaction, and whatever touches you emotionally makes an imprint, you remember it. Now, is this literally saying that if you don't listen to your mom and dad, a bird's going to come peck your eye out? No. But it's a picture and it's a metaphor, and here's the emotional impact of that. If you're rebellious and you thumb your nose at mom and dad now, you're probably going to thumb your nose at all authority, whether it's your teacher, whether it's your boss, whether it's the policeman. And if you grow up that way, you might as well have plucked your eyes out, because you're walking blind in this world. You're going to get steamrolled. You're going to get smashed. You're going to get run over. You're going to get wiped out. So when you think of it in that, and I'm sure all of you know somebody who grew up with that rebellious, I don't listen to nobody. I do what I want to do. And they're so arrogant, they're walking blind and they crash and burn. That's exactly what Proverbs is saying. That's what he's talking about. And it gives you a visual image that, okay, now that makes sense. And you remember it. Obey. The word obey means to listen under. The Greek word is very interesting. It comes from two Greek words meaning to be underneath and to listen to. To listen under. This is one of the if I could summarize one of the main lessons of wisdom, if you want to add a bunch of wisdom to your life, it would be this. Be humble and be teachable. I don't care if you are 75 years old and you've heard it all and known it all and done it all, be teachable. You never stop learning. You never stop growing. And I think this is a good advice for parents as well as children. If you're not really listening, you're not really obeying. And how many times does God say that? Listen to me. It's important that you listen. And a lot of this has to do with attitude. Honor your mother and your father. To honor your mother and father really means not just to, in a robotic way, do what they say. It means to lovingly respect them to the best of your ability. To honor them with respect and thoughtfulness. Now, it's true that we all may outgrow our call to obey our parents. I mean, at a certain point, you grow up and you either get married or you're an adult or become a parent yourself. But we never outgrow the call to honor our parents. Now, I realize some of you maybe have had abusive parents or parents that they're not worthy of any honor. May I say to you that God wants in your life, God knows the pain that they have brought into your life, and if there is nothing, try to find anything that you learned from them, anything that was positive, anything that was good, and even if there is nothing but they gave me life, and by that life, then I came to meet the Lord who has healed me and forgiven me. Or maybe the only good thing is they taught me everything not to do to be a loving parent. And therefore, I'm going to be the generation that breaks the habits and the patterns and starts a new generation that will follow the Lord. Even in that way, that's an honoring. And too many grown-up children do not have respect for their parents. And they dishonor their parents by forgetting them or neglecting them as they get older. Now let's close with verse 4. Here's God's wisdom to parents. Though it is obviously applicable to both mom and dad, interestingly, Paul zeroes in on the fathers specifically. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Don't provoke your children to anger so that they seethe with resentment. You know, every once in a while we hear about some kid that goes ballistic and they either kill people or shoot people or crash or do something. And I often wonder if they were not in some way at some point, rather than nourished and cherished and loved and protected and invested in some way spiritually, mentally, emotionally, abused. And, you know, you can take anything in the animal kingdom, you keep poking it and you keep provoking it and you keep making it mad, eventually, with whatever strength it has, it's going to kind of go crazy. Unfortunately, in the ancient Roman world, there was this idea that very loose about children, let them go, let them do whatever, which is almost where some have come today. In fact, I would say that the modern value would be, they would say the opposite of Ephesians 6. They would say, parents, obey your children and do whatever they wish or desire. The Bible says, no. Now, you don't want to squelch their creativity. You do not want to crush their freedoms. You want them to blossom and find their unique abilities and all. But that can be done without the parents obeying the children. That's not the way, either in nature or in God's design, that things work. And so it's important that we as parents, because sometimes there were Roman parents that would come into the church, and here's what they did. They said, look, kid, you can do whatever you want, but if you interfere with my career, or, you know, sometimes they're in politics, or if you get me in trouble with the civil authorities, they would physically beat and abuse their children. And unfortunately, I see reflections of that Roman attitude somewhat even here. So within the church, within those who are Christians, I mean, the world does what the world does. But within the family of God, Paul says, hey, are you teachable? Will you listen? Then listen, fathers, don't provoke your children or agitate them to where they're constantly holding this anger inside that someday is going to explode and hurt not only them, but no doubt you as well. Here are ways of provoking children. Number one, unreasonableness. Some parents ask things that are beyond a child's capability. I think that we are currently very often guilty of that. A recent article, I don't remember which magazine, but it was on the cover of one of the national magazines, was talking about how American parents are now pressuring kindergartners. Used to be high school or, you know, within grade school. Well, now it's the pressure is on in kindergarten. You've got to know the alphabet. You've got to be able to speak. You can read a little bit, and you've got to start beginning to do, you know, all these things. Then they get into the organized sports, and there's pressure on that. And we see that boil over. Parents coming out of the stands, and used to kids could play several sports, and now, no, you've got to stick to one, and you've got to either go to the Olympics or get a scholarship, and pressure gets put on these little rascals. And the fun is kind of taken out of it, and it's not healthy. Others load down their children with so many demands that the frustration comes boiling to the surface and they begin to act out their anger. So don't be unreasonable. Fault-finding. There are some parents who I think are well-meaning, but are in fact what I would call well-intentioned dragons. Every time they open their mouth, they scorch their children. They want to help, but they're constantly pointing out the flaws and the faults, and you're not doing this right. Now, let me tell you how God treats you as his children, because we got a long way to go ourselves. We all have flaws. God never starts with your flaws. God always starts with the foundation of grace, mercy, his love. And he edifies, he builds us up. You are my son, and you are even my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. I love you. I love you unconditionally. You don't have to perform for me to earn my love. You have it. Now come close and let me counsel you. Let me give you advice. Let me direct you. I have promises to give you. And so God may start with that. And then once our defenses are down, we trust in the Lord and we begin pouring our heart out to him. And as we feel this edification, then on a foundation of trust and relationship, he says, now there are a few things, Ray, that I need to point out to you. There are some things you need to work on. Well, now that I know that he loves me, now that it's not a fearful kind of a thing, and I've been edified, and he's actually told me, you're doing all these things well, there's just a few things here that we need to give attention to and work on. It's like, oh, yeah, I love the attention, and I love the encouragement so much. If there's things I could work on where you would even give more healthy, encouragement, I'm ready to work on it now. So the whole thing is turned around. So let me encourage you, build your children's foundation with what they are good at, what they do well at, what you like about them. Then earn the right to be able to come to them and say, now there's some areas that we need to work on. Thirdly, neglect. This was the great sin of David. And without going into all the details, let me just say this, neglect drove David's most favorite, beloved son, and he had many, Absalom, to rebellion and then treason and an early death. Don't neglect your children. Then finally, inconsistency. Follow through on your promises. But if and when you make a promise and don't fulfill it, which is bound to happen, admit it and say, you're right. I made your promise. I didn't keep it. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then come good with the promise. It's never too late to begin fulfilling a promise that you have made or begin a relationship. I think that children here, as I mentioned, are like fragile flowers. He or she can easily be crushed. With a lot of work and a lot of care, they can also blossom and be a great blessing to you as well as to themselves. So Paul says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but, and here's the positive, and we'll close with this, bring them up. And the idea there is, bring them up means nourish them, and I've put it as gentleness. Gently deal with them. Let me tell you something about you. You as a human being are extremely fragile, complicated, and made in the image of God. Do you realize that? Therefore, be gentle with yourself, be gentle with every human being that you ever come in contact with, and especially children. They are to be treated gently, and we are to treat one another gently. Second is training. This is a strong word that means discipline. Say the word discipline. Do you know that's where the word disciple comes from? Don't be afraid. If you are a Christian within God's family, this is the way it is. Discipline is part of the deal. There's no getting around it, sidetracking it, reinventing some other word, getting away from it, easier path. No. In a fallen world, in a broken world, there's going to have to be disciplines. In other words, you're going to learn some things that are right, and your flesh is not going to want to go along with it, and therefore it will require discipline. You learn early on that, there's mornings I wake up, I don't feel like going and brushing my teeth, but I do it out of discipline and to everyone's benefit. So also in the body of Christ and with a walk with God. Proverbs 19:18, let's read this scripture. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Now, I realize that there is, in these days, sensitivity to this because, there's abuse. We're not talking about physical, abuse in any stretch. There are a variety of forms of discipline, and I'm not even going to go into any of that. But I will say that the idea is that there is to be some restraint, and far better to have a discipline that brings, you know, conflict, and it's not easy, and it's especially with children, it's a lot of work. But far better to deal with some form of discipline as God leads you than no discipline, which ends, as it says here, it'll end with death. Those who have no discipline in their lives die, and usually die young because of the bad habits. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Let's read it out loud. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And that's very, very true. Finally, there is instruction. The best coaches, the best dads, the best moms, the best employers do a lot of teaching. Teaching takes time. You have to repeat yourself over and over and over again until they get it, until they understand it, and until finally they're doing what you're teaching them. In the family of God, so also in walking individually with Christ, so also with parents and children. And there was once a man, and I will close with this last scripture, whose name was Eli. He was the high priest, and he never disciplined his sons. And this is what happened. Let's read 1 Samuel 3, verses 11 through 13. And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them." God disciplined Eli. He brought him to heaven early because the high priest's sons were wicked. They were getting drunk in the altar of the Lord, and they were sleeping with women that were coming to pray and to worship. And God said, "You know what? The judgment is coming on you for that. You live a righteous life, but you don't restrain them, and they are profaning my name throughout the land." So if you don't discipline your children, then it will affect more than just your family. And therefore, love, if you love them, teach them. If you love them, discipline them. If you love them, be gentle with them. And if you love them, they will blossom.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with very specific instruction on fostering a proper biblical relationship between parent and child. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And you can hear today's message again on CD. It's a study called Christian Family Life, and we can send it your way for just $7. Contact us and mention the title Christian Family Life. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 9217 or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.